Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 9:13. This has been a change in venue for something that's important to me, and I think it'd be important to you, so we wanted to talk about it. And that's the Out of the Darkness walk. Sir, identify yourself, please.
Hey, I'm Sean Conley. I'm a board member for the Illinois chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and I'm also the treasurer for the group, and I coordinate our LGBTQ outreach for the state.
You know, you may or may not know this. I've lost a couple of friends to suicide, and do a lot of things and spend a lot of time with the military charities all over the place, and we know what a scourge military suicide's been. Whether or not we're making progress in that area depends on what we're able to do, and the donations from the walk are a really important part of this. So where do they go?
Absolutely. So they directly support our mission to save lives and bring help and hope to people affected by suicide. And so we are the largest private funder of suicide prevention research in the country. We also focus on education and advocacy to try to achieve our mission of reducing the suicide rate in the country as a whole. And so primarily the donations from this walk will help fund some of the most innovative and cutting-edge research in the country that's going on as we try to figure out scalable solutions that can really affect this major issue for a number of the thousands and thousands of Americans who die by suicide every year, and then all of the families, loved ones who are left behind to sort of pick up the pieces.
Yeah, I talk to folks about this a lot too, and pardon me. You know, somebody comes to you and they say they're really struggling and maybe the world would be a better place without them, or any shade of that type of conversation. What you don't want to say is, oh, don't talk like that. You have so much to live for. What somebody in that case needs to hear is, I'm sorry you're sad. I'm sorry you're feeling this way. What can I do to help?
Exactly. Yeah, driving the conversation and being okay to talk about mental health, being okay to talk about suicidal ideation, and really having more open dialogues, and also having people be aware of how to have those sorts of conversations and how to eventually direct those people into care, direct them towards medical professionals if that's necessary, make sure that everybody knows the various hotlines that are available, and continuing to improve the function of those hotlines at the policy level. So I think that that's been a big goal. And in Illinois, we've had a lot of success. A bill was just recently passed that improved the training that educators get across the state to be able to not only assess for mental health risk, suicide risk, but then also know what to do when they get that sort of information.
Well, and one of the things that's really important is to talk to people who've walked the same walk that you have. And for instance, one of the charities that I'm very close to is called Rebecca's Dream. And Rebecca Cutler is a friend of mine who took her own life at 30. And her dream was to have people be able to openly talk about bipolar disorder, which she was dealing with, but depression as well. And that's an organization where when you call, you're talking to somebody who is clinically depressed or been diagnosed with the same or bipolar. Point being, it's easier to talk to somebody who knows what you're going through.
I think that's true. And one of the big goals we have is trying to make sure that as much as possible, so if we have a veteran or if we have someone who is part of the LGBTQ population,
a match
on the other side of that crisis line. And so that's one of the big initiatives that I think a number of organizations and us as well are trying to push at both the state, and that's really a federal issue of trying to improve the suicide prevention hotline and crisis line.
I think, you know, gee, you guys are doing like an old home week reunion thing here before we got on the air.
Well, one of the things that I learned that I've tried to instill in my life is the phrase died by suicide as opposed to committed suicide, which I think committed sounds much more as a criminal act. And I think that's one of the small things that I've learned. I've changed my verbiage on that. But the walk is pretty incredible, especially if you are somebody, if you're listening right now and you've been affected by someone who died by suicide. It's really a wonderful, touching, reassuring walk to see the mass amounts of people there that have been affected by it. You don't feel so alone. And as somebody that has survived it, it's pretty incredible to connect with other folks that have too and are still grieving and suffering, because it's a difficult topic to talk about.
Absolutely. And so I lost my sister 6 years ago to suicide. She suffered from bipolar disorder as well. And the commit language is really important. We think about, you know, you don't commit cancer. You don't commit other illnesses. And so you shouldn't necessarily put the blame on the victim. But the walk, I remember the first time I went, I was just overwhelmed when it was 6 years ago now. And just the amount of love and support that I immediately felt just walking on to the walk site. And that has continued to be the case every year after. And everyone I've ever talked to feels the same.
For me, it had been many, many years years, because I lost my father by suicide when I was 13, and I went to the walk just a couple of years ago, and the amount of emotions that I had buried so deep inside me, because I never felt comfortable discussing it with anyone, and to be surrounded by so many people, thousands of people, that you felt like, oh my goodness, they went through this too. I don't have anything to be ashamed about. I can actually relate and talk to everyone here. It was a pretty remarkable feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's been the biggest thing. It's not just for the person who is experiencing the suicidal ideation or is in crisis, but it's also for, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of us who are left behind after, and the survivors of suicide, and for us to be able to talk about it and
you
work
feel
through
a
our
lot
issues
of guilt.
Really help. You feel a lot of guilt. You can feel a lot of really complicated emotions. You can feel angry. You can feel sad beyond words, and those type of emotions don't necessarily go away 6 months after, or, oh, don't worry, time will heal.
Or even it's not, 10 years
yeah,
after.
It tends to stay with you for your entire life.
Well, I was going to say, based on what you just said, G, that the part of the therapy of a walk, I think, would be that community that goes on when you're around other people, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've assumed part of the reason that you didn't talk about it or think about it a lot is you were worried about upsetting the other people in your family, because you didn't know if it was okay to talk about it, right?
Yeah, it was pretty... I remember being on stage. I was, you know, you guys were gracious enough to let me speak on stage, and it was just great being able to say my dad's name, because I hadn't said his name in decades, because we didn't talk about him or discuss him. And it's not only are you afraid that you're going to upset other family members, but you also are afraid you're going to be judged by people, or that your father, the person that you loved dearly, whether no matter how complicated your relationship was with that loved one, you don't want that person judged, or because their story isn't known and how difficult their struggle was isn't something that you want just judged automatically.
Right.
So. The thing that I went through in particular with Rebecca was that judgment that you're talking about from folks, because there's a lot of how could she, how could he have done that to them or have done that to me. There's people listening right now who are dealing with loss like that, who are struggling with that because it's a combination of anger and guilt, right?
Right, that's true. And I think one of the areas that helped me through that is understanding that, you know, 90% of people who die by suicide have a diagnosable mental health condition at the time of their death. And so, you know, it is not the intent of the victim and to hurt their family or to hurt themselves. And it's not a normal brain function. It isn't the behavior of a healthy person. And so I think that those types of emotions, the anger and guilt, really do affect our community of survivors. And trying to unpack all of that can start, especially when it's just taking the first step and coming to the walk, or reaching out on our website at afsp.org/Chicago to learn information about the walk and other things that we do. We have the International Survivors of Suicide Day in November. We are kind of constantly promoting
this annual events.
Events.
Goes all
yeah,
year
we
long.
Have things going on pretty much in every community across the state and at any time. And if you don't have something in your community, you can reach out to us and we'll come and we'll provide a free training. We can provide free resources anywhere from here to East St. Louis to Quincy.
Sure.
It doesn't matter where you are.
We'll give the specifics on the walk in just a second. I want to get Kate in here before we run out of time. Good morning, Kate.
Hi. I attempted suicide about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I slugged my husband, and he called the police on me, and the ambulance came. I had the best Chicago police officers by my side. Said, you know, you're a good person, you know, we're going to get you some help. And they took me to the hospital. Of course, I was under suicide watch until I got into a room. I went on to the psychiatric floor. I was there about 5 days, and I went through groups. I was diagnosed. I was bipolar and major depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it, my husband saved my life with that. And I just want people to know that you're not alone. When I was in group, I felt so good. I was like, man, there are people just like me that feel the same way. But at the time, you're in such a dark place. You think you're just all alone.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that until you sit down with others, you don't know that?
I'm tearing up now because I'm here, you know?
Well, God bless you. And that sounds like you got a heck of a husband. That's an amazing, amazing man there. How do you feel you're doing day to day? Because the struggle continues, but it sounds like you got a great support team around you.
Yes, I do. And, you know, your producer asked if I wanted to go anonymous, and I said no. I said, I'm not ashamed.
No,
I'm not ashamed. Absolutely. And my gosh, I got tears in my eyes and that, but I just, if anybody is listening, you're not alone. You could step out of that darkness, and there's people to help. Don't be ashamed to take medication.
Wow, it's powerful words. It's powerful words, especially for someone like you. And I really appreciate you having the guts to come on and talk about it. I wish you nothing but the best. Hold on for us for a second. I got to get the plug in here for the walk before we run out of time. You've moved venues.
So we moved venues this year. We're going to be at Montrose Harbor on the north side. It's this Saturday. The site opens at 9 a.m. and the walk actually is going to step off at around 11 a.m. There's a number of activities. There'll be comfort dogs, the memorial wall, why I walk, and there's stuff for suicide survivors and also people like the caller with lived experience. And it's just a wonderful sense of community. It can be very, very meditative. It's going to be a beautiful day by the lakefront. You can also learn more about all of the resources we have for both military and veteran population, LGBTQ population, senior citizens, et cetera, et cetera. So I really do encourage everybody to come out to the walk.
There's a population, too, of folks who have lost somebody who become great volunteers, too. And I know you always do well with the walk with finding more volunteers.
Right. And the volunteering is really great. And if you have lost someone, this can be a great place to put your energy into. Yeah. I've really dedicated a lot of my time, and I know everyone else on our board and all of the volunteers I've met across the state are just super duper behind our organization and the mission. And it does feel like in some ways it's us helping and giving back to, because we understand the pain. And we
understand a lot of Kates out there are willing to talk.
Exactly. And hearing that story, which is wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. She's amazing. Website for all information.
AFSP.org/Chicago. So AFSP.org/Chicago will get you right to the walk site. It has all the information on it. It has how you can create a team, register to come walk. We really do encourage you to register beforehand. You can make a donation if you can't make it. And from there, you can find out other information on both national and local initiatives going on.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity.
I appreciate it.